Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jai. No, you're away from Alatra for a little bit, and you get here, there's so many new faces. So for those that I don't know, my name is Jai Gori, I'm glad to be here and giving Bhagavatam class. It's because it's an opportunity to dive into the pastimes. Adi 5, BC, yes. You know, I brought my online thing, but it doesn't work. All right, so we're going to read today the marriage of Samba, continue, text 42 to 47. Since all these verses, there are a lot of verses, we are going to chant responsive to the 47. So we chant together from 42 to 46, and then we'll do the responses. All right? Okay. So 42 and 43. Jalayanam ivagurnam gangayam nagaram patat akrishnam yamam alokya kaurava jata sambramaha tam eva sharanam jagmu sakatumba jivasasa. Thank you. Salakshmanam purashkritya sambam pranjalaya prabham. All right, seeing that their city was stumbling about like a raft at sea, as it was being dragged away, and that it was about to fall into the Ganges, the Kauravas became terrified. To save their lives, they approached the Lord for shelter, taking their families with them. Placing Samba and Lakshmana in front, they joined their palms in supplication. Poor part by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. The city of Hastinapur began to roll about like a raft in a stormy sea. The frightened Kauravas, to quickly appease the Lord, immediately brought Samba and Lakshmana and placed them in front. Text 44. Rama Rama Kila Dhara Prabhavam na vidam na chevi mudhanam na kubudhinam shantum arhasi asti pramam. Translation, the Kaurava said, O Ram, Ram, foundation of everything, we know nothing of your power. Please excuse our offense, for we are ignorant and misguided. Text 45. Siti utpati apyayanam sam eko hetu nirashraya lokam kridanakam isha kridastaste vidantihi. Translation. You alone caused the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the cosmos, and of you there is no prior cause. Indeed, O Lord, authorities say that the world are mere playthings for you as you perform your pastimes. Text 46. Tvam eva murdini dam anantalilaya bhumandalam vivarshi sahasramurdam ante chayat patma nirudhavishva shished vityai parishyamahamaha. Translation. O unlimited one of a thousand heads, as your pastime, you carry this earthly globe upon your heads. At the time of annihilation, you would draw the entire universe within your body and remaining all alone, lie down to rest. Text 47. What? Okay. What about this one? Okay, thank you. Kopaste kilat shikshartam nadvisham nacha matsarahat vivarto bhagavam sarvam sthiti palana taptar parahat. Translation. Your anger is meant for instructing everyone. It is not a manifestation of hatred or envy. O Supreme Lord, you sustain the pure mode of goodness, and you become angry only to maintain and protect this world. Purport. The gurus admit that Lord Balaram's anger was entirely appropriate and in fact was meant for their benefit. As Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur puts it, the guru is meant to say, because you exhibited this anger, we have now become civilized, whereas previously we were wicked and could not see you, blinded as we were by pride. So these are the verses. Oh, we need to chant responsibly. So, Gopaste kila shikshartam nadvisham nacha matsarahat vibrato bhagavam sattvam sthitipalanataparaha. Please chant. Kopaste kila shikshartam vibrato bhagavam sattvam sthitipalanataparaha. Kopaste kila shikshartam nadvishamacha matsarat vibrato bhagavam sattvam sthitipalanataptaraha. Kopaste kila shikshartam nadvishamacha matsarat vibrato bhagavam sattvam sthitipalanataparaha. Kopaste kila shikshartam nadvisham nacha matsarat vibrato bhagavam sattvam sthiti palana taparaha. Kopaste kila shikshartam nadvisham nacha matsarat vibhavam sattvam sthiti palana taparaha. Young girls? Oh, you're all busy. Okay. Word for word. Kopaha, anger. Te, your. Akila, of everyone. Shiksha, for the instruction. Artam, meant. Na, not. Vishat, out of hatred. Nacha, nor. Matsarat, out of envy. Vibrataha, of you who are sustaining. Bhagavan, O Supreme Lord. Sattvam, the mode of goodness. ECT maintenance, palana, and protection, Dat Baraha, having as its intent. So let's all read the verse together. Your anger. Oh, okay. All right. Your anger is meant for instructing everyone. It's not a manifestation of hatred or envy. O Supreme Lord, you sustain the pure mode of goodness, and you become angry only to maintain and protect the world. All right. Jai, so shall read the prayer part again? Yeah. So the Kurus admit that Lord Balaram's anger was entirely appropriate and in fact was meant for their benefit. As Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur puts it, the Kurus meant to say, because you exhibited this anger, we have now become civilized, whereas previously we were wicked and could not see you, blinded as we were by pride. All right, so these are verses that the Kauravas, glorification of Lord Balaram. So it started in the first verse of Shukadeva Goswami speaking. So he was relating what was happening, you know, when the great Lord Balaram struck the plow onto the earth and made the city of Hastinapur shake like a raft. And fearing for their lives, the Kauravas, they approached the great Lord Balaram and the yielder of the plow, and in bringing Lakshman and Samba in front, they approached the Lord. So the Kauravas, they had descended to the earth to participate in Lord Krishna's pastimes. So they were not ordinary people. They were demigods playing the part of Kauravas, and they got under the influence of the modes. So that shows how potent, you know, the material energy is. So today I thought of discussing 3 points. Lord Balaram, and I had a nice chapter of the Adi Lila that was fabulous, but I'll see what I can remember by memory, because we couldn't find the book here, and my internet doesn't work here. And also the Kauravas, we're going to analyze the Kauravas' words of praise to the Lord, and then we're going to talk about the mystical plow weapon. All right, so who is Lord Halayudha? Halayudha is a name for Lord Balaram, the yielder of the plow. So Lord Balaram is the first expansion of Lord Krishna. He's the first expansion of Lord Krishna, and then from him, you know, the Chaturyugas come on, the Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. And then those four expand again into the Vaikuntha planets. And then there is another expansion of Lord Balaram called Maha Sankarsana. So this Maha Sankarsana is the shelter of all the jivas. So, you know, the Kauravas had that original Supreme Personality of Godhead in front of them, and still they were covered by the modes, and so that's how potent material energy is, because material energy is infused. Material energy is dull matter. When it's in the pradhan stage, the pradhan, it's all the elements are there, but they're just inert. And then by Lord Mahavishnu's glance, and Lord Mahavishnu is, again, his Lord Balaram, you know, the portion of Lord Balaram, by his glance, he infuses material, the elements, with life. And it gives it life. There's a nice description saying that the Lord is there in his causal ocean, and material energy is there, the pradhana is there, but they do not touch. They are side by side, but they have no interaction. So just by his glance, he says that his reflection infuses the material energy with life. And then inside, once that begins, all the universes appear. And from inside each universe, the Lord expands again. So Karanadakshai Vishnu is inside each universe and expands into Mahavishnu, expands into Garbhadakshai Vishnu and Kshirodakshai Vishnu. The Garbhadakshai Vishnu lies on the ocean inside each universe. And that, say that the water, the perspiration from the Lord's body inside each universe creates the causal ocean, the ocean inside each universe. And there the Lord rests. And all these manifestations of Vishnu, they're all part of Lord Balaram. So Lord Balaram, you know, he also expands as the shoe, the umbrella of Lord Krishna. He's like a servitor Lord, you know, make everything happen. And he's, you know, when the Kauravas were talking, as soon as, you know, he was enraged because the Kauravas were saying that Lord Krishna had no right to sit on the throne. And then he was saying before, you know, Krishna, you know, the one that went to and got the Parijata flower from the heavens, you know, he is not worth to sit on a throne. So he was quite enraged. And Lord Balaram, for us practicing bhakti yogis, Vaishnavas, he's the Adi Guru. He's that Lord that we take shelter of for spiritual strength. So those, I had those verses really nice, but we're going to go on. So this the CC Adi 5, if you all check, you know, why we are still talking about Lord Balaram here in the Bhagavatam. You know, it's so beautiful. It's a glorification of Lord Nityananda, but, you know, one and the same. And altogether, there are 235 verses. And you know, half of them is just explaining all this beautiful, you know, succession of expansions of Lord Balaram. And then, so the second thing that we were talking about is the Kauravas, their words. So that was the first verse that Shukadeva Goswami was saying. And then the Kauravas became really afraid, and they said, "Oh, Ram, Ram!" Imagine Lord Balaram was enraged. And not only that, he had his plow in his hand, and the plow, by his desire, the plow had grew in size. And he was striking the plow onto the earth. And by doing that, he removed Hastinapura. He separated Hastinapura from the earth. That's how it's described as a raft, because it got loose from the earth and he was dragging it towards the Ganges. So the concept of time, I still don't get it. Yeah, but you know how they get their whole families in front of Lord Balaram, like in a to please live, you know, and then they go, "Ram, Ram, a foundation of everything." So they call him Akhila Dhara, you know, the foundation of everything. And then they call him, they said, "Eko Hetur Nirashraya." He's like, "You are of you, there's no other cause." So they were, you know, they were learned. They knew all this. They knew that the Lord was, you know, the supreme cause, the one without a second. They knew all this, and still they were discovered when they were full of pride. And they also called the Lord Anantalilaya Bhumandalam Vibarsi Sahasramurdam. Ananta, you know, the whole limited one. And Lilaya Bhumandala, when Lord Balaram expands, a little portion of his expands its Shesha. And he, Shesha is the thousand head snake serpent. And he holds the universes on his hood, but he's not even aware of them because he's just, there's no weight on his head. It's just there. It's just the pastime. So they call him, you know, Lilaya Bhumandalam. You do this pastime of holding the universes on your head. And Vibarsi Sahasramurdam. There's the power. We do not know your power. So that Karanadakshai Vishnu, you know, the cause of material manifestation, is without any contact with the material elements. By his reflection, his glancing, so all this was in front of the Kauravas, and they were finally seeing the Lord for who he is. And then they came to, you know, glorify the Lord. And they also say, they talk about how they were covered. They realized that they were covered by anger, by kopas te kila shikshartam. That he said that your anger is only meant to instruct us. Like the Lord's anger was not covered by the modes, the lower modes of nature, you know, passion and ignorance. Because that's when you're angry. Usually that's when you're under those modes. But the Lord's anger was different from that. It's transcendental. It's pure goodness. It was meant just to instruct the Kauravas. And then he said, Vibrato Bhagavam Satvam Siti Palana Taparaha. That's when he said that. Your protection is a pure mode of goodness. So those, they repented, the Kauravas, they repent. So we see the stories in the Bhagavatam that the demigods, they make a mistake and they repent. But the demons, they don't repent. So here you can see that the Kauravas, they were demigods playing because immediately they repent. Although they were bad before. And also there's some this plow of Lord Balaram, that's his favorite weapon. And the plow, there are many different stories of Lord Balaram wielding the plow. And so this mystical plow weapon, it's explained that when the Lord is The Lord was angry. The plow manifested in his hand and grew big. Now imagine to be able to struck the earth and remove a whole city off, you know, move it off the earth, the whole city just floating like a raft. You need to have a pretty substantial size of a plow to do that. So that manifested by the Lord's desire. So this plow is not an ordinary plow that you pick up. It's a personality, and it works for the Lord by his desire, and it grows in size. And also there's some fabulous demonstration of prowess of Lord Balaram when in the 79th chapter of the Krishna book, there is the story of Lord Balaram going on pilgrimage. But before that, before he goes on pilgrimage, there's this, there was the sages in the forest. And all of a sudden, there was this, what it is called, the a harsh wind begun to blow on the new moon day. I like that sentence, just to set up the scene. And so the sages were out there, and this harsh blow, wind blow, and then the smell of, you know, pus and all these bodily fluids that stink, they were all over, and it was like raining urine. And so, and then this huge, humongous demon was flying in the sky, doing all this, creating all this disturbance, and destroying the arena of sacrifices for the brahmanas. It was a real menace. And so this demon is described that he was so black that he looked like carbon. So it's that no shiny, it's like matte black color. And he had his hair, his mustache, and his beard was copper color. And Srila Prabhupada described that because his he had this copper hair in his face and his hair. When he showed his teeth, his mouth looked very fearful, very fearsome. So he was like a fearsome, humongous demon. So Lord Balaram then thought, how am I going to get this guy? So Lord Balaram manifested. Yes, as soon as he thought of his weapons, that they manifested in his hand. So he had his plow, he had his club in one hand and the other. So what he did, the demon was flying. So he hooked the demon down with the plow and then got this club and smashed the demon's forehead. His demon's name was Balvala. And that was the end of it, because then the demon was screaming, and blood profusely flowing from his forehead. But the sages were very happy. And so the sages were so happy, they start giving Lord Balaram gifts and praising him. And just like Lord Indra, when he in the heavens, when he kills a demon, the brahmanas, they bathe him. They do a bathing ceremony. So they did a bathing ceremony for Lord Balaram right after he killed Balvala. And then there's also a story of another plow-wielding story of Lord Balaram and his... there was this king named Raivata. This is from a different yuga. So he had this daughter that was very, very qualified. So he said, you know, I don't see anybody worth of my daughter right now. So he went to Lord Brahma. So he went to Brahma Loka. That's how powerful he was. He was a really, you know, he can living in the earth, but he had the power to go to Brahma Loka. So he took his daughter to Brahma Loka, and Lord Brahma was having a musical performance going on. So he waited. So when Lord Brahma finally was able to talk to him, Lord Brahma said, you know, yeah, your daughter's very qualified, but, you know, down on the earth, there's no longer all the people that you knew. They no longer exist because time has a different expand in a heavenly planet, in a heavenly planet in Brahma Loka. So, you know, many, many yugas have gone by. But Lord Brahma said, yeah, but there's one person on the earth right now that is very qualified for your daughter, and his name is Balaram. So this king Raivata, he took Revati, his daughter, to Lord Balaram and presented her to Lord Balaram, you know, for him to marry. But Revati was very, very, very tall, because the yuga was a different yuga and people were much bigger. So Lord Balaram very gently picked up his plow and put it on Rebati's head and brought her down to size. So that's how mystical, you know, this plow and Lord Balaram, you know, it's so mystical. It's, you know, all these things happen with this plow, and the plow just manifests and is used in any way the Lord wishes. Okay. Well, I'm going to conclude now. I talk about all the 3 points. So by repenting, the Lord, the Kauravas became, they pacified the Lord. And we see in these verses the consequence of pride and ignorance and how quickly the Lord's punishment gave results. So, you know, the Lord, you know, quickly, he changed the minds of the Kauravas just by his prowess. You know, he showed who he was, you know, said, hey, remember who I am. You don't mess with what, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the demigods played the part of Kshatriyas. They quickly repented. He said that and came to their senses, glorifying the Lord and acknowledging their being ignorant and misguided. So that was a very good thing that the Kauravas did, because they were, in fact, demigods playing the part of that Kshatriyas. And the Kshatriyas, they have the... Now, there was a Srila Prabhupada, I think, was saying, well, where did I read? I think it was on Desire Tree, ISKCON Desire Tree. It was a blog, maybe. Oh, so the reference is kind of cloudy. But it says that Lord Balaram... did I write that? Maybe I shouldn't just, I don't have the reference, so erase that. So, you know, for us, for Vaishnavas, we're practicing bhakti yogis, to stay under the guidance of the spiritual master is a very important thing for us to maintain that perspective of who we are, what the material world is, what the Supreme Lord is. So we have that sambandha, that understanding of how the world works, so we can keep the modes of material nature at check. And so we don't act on the modes. So we practice Vaishnava behavior. We practice, you know, all those 26 qualities of the devotee, you know, the kindness, you know, the patience and cleanliness, and all these very important qualities that we need to practice. There are 26 of them. So we have, by the mercy of Guru Nitai, that we may not become aparadis and offend the Vaishnavas. Always very careful so we don't offend anyone and get our bhakti lata beach from growing and growing. So all those details in the Vaishnava life that we need to keep aware of, so we can go back to Godhead in this lifetime with Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Jai, thank you very much. And any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. There are 3 Prabhus here.
Not all the Kauravas were demigods. Like the sons of Dhritarashtra, most of them, they were like demons.
They were what?
Demons.
Demons.
But Duryodhana was Kaliyuga personified. Bhishma was one of the Vishvadevas. He was Dhruv. I think Dhruv was the name. Karna was the son of Surya. Well, you know, he's not really a Kaurava. And you had like Borishvaras and...
Yeah, but they were not...
Yeah, but not all of them.
Yeah, they were not ordinary people.
Right.
They were from, you know, they were summoned by the Lord. But before the Lord came, remember? You know, he summoned all the demigods to please just start going down and setting up the scenes for him, for his appearance. And, you know, they were playing all these different parts. And even Duryodhan, boy, you know, talk about demon. You know, when he was born, the jackals were howling, and so there were so many inauspicious signs when he was born. But, you know, he was also playing, I guess, the part of a demon. Without Duryodhan, you know, the Kurukshetra wouldn't happen. And that was Krishna's desire, that, you know, to rid the earth of that weight. That was the prayer of the demigods when they went to the ocean, to the shore, the ocean, to talk to the Lord, to relay their message. There was too many demons on the earth, too many people, just that the earth was heavy with burden. Is that all right?
Good. So in defense of Duryodhan, I just want to mention, you know, one of the qualities, the good qualities that he had was that he was, he had a high level of culture, despite he was in that situation.
He had a what? A caution?
Culture.
Culture, yes.
Yes, and he was civilized and cultured.
Yes.
And one thing that manifested that, and that's what actually helped to execute the Lord's Leela.
Mm-hmm.
When they were in the battlefield, in the Mahabharata, it described that at one point he went and he was very frustrated. Like in the evenings, they used to, the Kauravas and the Pandavas, they were dying together, and in the day they would fight. So he was very frustrated, and he went to Grandfather Bhishma, and he was like angry at him and was sort of chastising Grandfather Bhishma and said, you know, you're very lenient towards these Pandavas, that if you had wanted, you could have killed them. So then Bhishma Dev said, he said, do you think that's so? He said, look, you know, tomorrow I'll finish them off. Look, I have these five charmed arrows for the five Pandavas. So what happened, the spies from the Pandava camp were there, so they came over and told Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna said, told Arjuna, he said, tomorrow you're doomed. That, listen to the news, Bhishma Dev promised to kill the five of you with these five arrows. So Arjuna said, wait, I'll be back shortly. So he went over to the Kauravas' camp. So when he went there, as the leader of the Kaurava camp, the prince, Duryodhan came and greeted him. And he said, you came here for something. Tell me what is it you want that I'm willing to satisfy you. He said, do you want back your kingdom? He said, no. He said, do you want, you know, tell me what you want. He said, I want those five arrows that you're keeping. Because he told Bhishmadev before that, I missed this part, that Duryodhan told Bhishmadev, he said, just to ensure that your word is held up, I'm going to keep these five arrows, and tomorrow morning I'm going to give them to you. So Arjuna said, I want those five arrows. And Duryodhan said, here they are. So if he didn't do that, the Pandavas would have been gone, the entire Kurava and the entire Kshatriya nature would not have been destroyed, and you know, it rolls on like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a sign of a high level of civilization, that his word is his word.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the Mahabharata, whatever Duryodhan wanted to do with all he had his wicked schemes, he never go about openly without the permission of the higher authorities. So that's another level of, you know, high standard.
Yeah, it says that he was wicked, but he was a very good king.
Yeah.
To the citizens. The citizens
had,
were happy
the
and they were
also
prosperous.
So anyway, just one question might be a little off. I was just thinking that when this entire Hastinapur, now Delhi, was being dragged by Lord Balaram, the entire, it was shaking or whatever, and the city is huge, it's not like a small thing. You know, how did they conceive the cause of this dragging of this entire or quake-like symptom? How come they knew that, well, it was Lord Balaram dragging it and not something else?
Well, now when you offend the Lord, you feel the vibe.
Okay, that can answer it.
All right. Yeah. See, that Lord Balaram was furious. He was furious. So imagine, they say that the Lord Balaram's face was like, you know, like scary, but it was so furious.
Yeah, just wondering how they came to that conclusion. Well, this is Lord Balaram doing it and not, you know, something
else. He didn't take this as a Brahmana. Oh, you know, I'll forgive them. No, he was like, no, you don't offend Lord Krishna. That was like, you know, the icing on the cake. The last drop was when they said, you know, forget it, it's Krishna, you know, just like shoes, and we are the head, and we've been giving you all these opulences, and now you come and all it was, they were like King Krishna's grandfather, Ugrasena. King Ugrasena had demanded something from the Kurus. So he said, you do this, just give them an order. Just by that, just giving them an order, that got their ego just blowing out of the universe. It was like full blown pride and ignorance, but you know, they repent after. Yes, Prabhu.
I was thinking that so often if you're put in a dangerous situation, that then you kind of come to your senses. But then in this case with Lord Balaram, you know, they when they saw this danger, then they reacted by praising him. So I was just wondering whether that was like a more of a like for almost like a forced repentance.
Oh, definitely.
Or forced, you know, it's like, you know, they saw him there before, and now, you know, why didn't it get in their heads then? You know, they knew who he was,
because they were covered by the modes. They were covered. They had this ego. You know, when you're on your ego platform and you think that, you know, that person is telling me what to do, you know, forget it. Like, you get into this rage of ego, of anger, of, you know, ignorance and pride and all those things are there, just like, so they were in that mood.
It's interesting, it was, too, that Lord Balaram wasn't so much, like, personally offended. He was, like, defending his dynasty, you know, Krishna.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was like acting on their behalf. Like, nobody's going to bash my brother.
Right. And Lord Balaram, like in this last verse that we read, he was angry for their benefit, because the Lord always acts on pure goodness. So the Lord Balaram's anger was to instruct them. So it was out of kindness that he became angry. Only the Lord can do that. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, there was some stories of devotees saying that how Srila Prabhupada, you know, they did something and Srila Prabhupada was so angry at them. And then, you know, 2 minutes later, Srila Prabhupada wasn't angry anymore. So he was just to instruct. It was a pure goodness anger. That is, you know, very rare. Okay, anybody else? Yes, Rangaji. Wait.
In pride, my experience with pride is that it's very dense. It's a kind of a gripping quality, a lack of quality. And so I was kind of correlating how in order to smash it, it takes force just as strong to actually break it. Because it seems like when pride is being enacted in our, you know, lives, to get to it is not easy. And so we see here that anger was like opponent to pride. It's like equal, anger, pride. So you mentioned about danger. Danger can also kind of get you out of it. I was just curious, what other forces can actually combat pride? I mean, we know that detachment, knowledge, and the Gita, but what other ways, so that when we see them coming, instead of, you know, pushing them away or
I think
not
serving,
wanting them?
Serving, you know, the mood of service. Because to serve somebody, you need to, you know, humble yourself. So to counteract that pride and, you know, have a mood of service and with a sincere heart, not just external, it all happens internally. The pride comes from your desires, from your ego, from your associating, thinking that you're this body. So with the same depth, you, when you serve a devotee, when you serve the deities, when you serve, you know, you provide service with the intention of as a prayer to get rid of that that pride. When we would join the movement, and when I first joined the movement, when you had a problem with somebody, you always went and paid obeisances to that person. So it was like a social problem, and you know how did that came about, that action, but that's what we were taught. So you just pay obeisances to the person in the Banchaka, but you know, with a real sincere heart. And so you can eliminate that envy or pride or anger. You offer service. And there is a list of, I haven't read that in a while, so I don't remember the top of my head, but there is a list of you know, the different bad qualities and what to do. I have it. I have a paper with it, so I'll look it up and I'll let you know. Jai Madhumati, your blessings.
I was thinking that just living life consciously. If you're consciously living your life, it's pretty, you can really crush the pride.
Yeah.
You know, those life itself is full of all kinds of excitement. But if you're conscious, then it takes care of your false ego.
Mm-hmm. You know, as a devotee, you know, the more that we, you know, we chant and we kind of look inside, and the more that we look inside, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, this is who I am. I have these feelings in my heart. So you need to address these things. You've got to be courageous enough to open and address these problems so you don't carry to another life, because, you know, we are here to clean up the shop. So let's address it, you know, open-hearted, like Kshatriyas. Let's go for it. Because, you know, Srila Prabhupada gave us all the tools, all the weapons for us to deal with all these internal pride and anger and envy and all these bad, bad things that we've been carrying for so many lifetimes. So yes, living life consciously and conscious of who you are and who the Lord is and what this world is. And taking shelter of the Vaishnavas and Tulsi Devi and Guru Maharaj. And that's your ticket. Yes, Prabhu. Sankalpaji.
Also, one can pray to the Lord to remove or make some kind of arrangement for purification of this pride and anger, because even I find, even when you serve someone, the pride can still be there, or I'm so humble, or I'm serving here, I'm doing the right thing. So it's like so subtle, this pride and anger, that sometimes from my own experience, I pray to the Lord, do something, make some kind of arrangement that somehow or other this can get exposed and purified.
Yeah, for you to be able to see that you have this, and you be able to pray to the Lord to help you release that from your heart. That's living consciously. And that's what we're all trying to do and practice our bhakti yoga. Jai. Well, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.